All right, everybody, welcome to BO Boys for Thursday, April 4th. Fuck it, it's a raw feed. We're doing it live in the new studio. I'm Clayton.
Yeah, I'm Pat. So, Clayton, for the people who listen to this podcast feed, you know, probably not much has changed. We sound great, but we always sound great. Mm-hmm. But for those who are watching the BO Boys YouTube channel right now, I'm going to wave with them in the camera here. We are in the brand new BO Boys studio, and, you know, we're still decorating, you know, the blank shelves here. Mm-hmm. We're going to put stuff in there, box office memorabilia, pictures of Scott Mendelson, the ace Eric Weber, Jeff Bach, Exhibit Relations Co. Get the family photos.
The bobbleheads.
Yeah, we'll get all the bobbleheads in there. But yeah, we are in the studio. We won't be in here every episode, but we will be in here probably once in a while. So, hey guys. Hey, there we are. So,
well, you're a real YouTuber now. The hey guys.
Oh, that's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm up with the youth culture. I know that when you're on YouTube, you say, hey guys.
When you
how
see.
You do? And you wave, you turn to the camera and you wave. And so for the podcast feed, they're probably like, what is he doing? I can't see him. It's only my ears, but don't worry. It's great.
Well, go to the YouTube channel because then you can just scrub to the high point where it shows most rewatched.
Right. Which is usually
hey
nudity.
Guys.
It's the hey guys. Yeah.
That, yep. And then the whatever nudity we show.
Yes, if there's any nip slips, those are always the high point when you scrub through the YouTube channel. But yeah, we're here on the podcast feed, on the BO Boys YouTube network, and we're here to do a little weekend preview for what may not be that sleepy of a weekend. You know, we were kind of worried, I think, about April being a letdown following Dune 2 and Ghostbusters, mm-hmm. and of course the collab last weekend being big, but we might have a couple of hit movies this weekend, possibly, maybe.
I don't know if couple.
Oh, wow. Okay. You don't think it's going to be two hit movies? Because we got two big new releases. We're not big, but we've got two wide releases.
Wide is different than big.
Okay.
I mean, this is sounding like a Kirkclusive. We got to keep it clean on this show.
Yes. This show on the Kirkclusive, on the Kirk Minahan YouTube network, anything goes.
Yeah.
Caution tapes off. You know, there's no limits. There's no restraints.
But I will agree, wide release for sure. Two wide releases. And do you want to start with the one that I think is going to do well or the one I think is not going to do well?
Oh, I want to start with the one you think will not do well. Because when you're angry and you're PO'd and your back is against the wall, I think that's when you're at your best. So let's hear it. Which of these two new releases do you think is gonna bomb? Hey guys, Clayton's about to start talking now. I just had to do that for the YouTube audience.
Hey guys, First Omen.
Wow. Okay.
And right, Brett from the New Flesh hashtag horror lifestyle.
Yeah.
We know what he says. Horror always wins.
Yes, he does.
The issue here is horror's already winning. Because you have Immaculate,
mm-hmm.
which had a great hold.
Okay.
Almost no drop. I mean, 39%.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Still.
Sydney Sweeney stayed firm at the box office.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then you have Late Night with the Devil,
mm-hmm.
still going strong.
Right.
And that's what the Gorehounds and the horror heads are going to be still going to see. And I know they need fresh blood.
Yeah.
And fresh meat.
Yeah.
But The Omen is, I think, there's nuns in it. And there's already nuns.
But there were nuns in The Nun, and there's nuns in Nun Part 2, and those did well.
Yeah, but those were separated, and they're apart from each other. And this nun here in The Omen is going to have to go head-to-head with Sydney Sweeney, which is different than just your run-of-the-mill nun.
Okay.
Right? I think that, I'm not saying this movie's going to bomb. I just don't think that this movie's going to do well. I think it's going to do under Night Swim, which was, what, open to a, like, 11.
Oh, wow. You're thinking that low? Because I would say that's
for
pretty
sure.
low if this opens under Night Swim.
I think the power of Immaculate and Late Night with the Devil is going to be a 1-2 punch that is going to really take this stale IP, which did well when it came out in the 70s, had some sequels, which did marginal business,
mm-hmm.
had a sort of reimagining or a remake in what, 2006?
Yeah, yeah.
With Liv Schreiber. And who else was in that movie?
I want to say Jessica Chastain, even though I know it's not Jessica Chastain.
Julia Stiles.
Yes. Her and Chastain, just almost similar career.
Oh, absolutely. 2006 remake did not do a lot of business.
Right.
And, you know, you mentioned The Omen when you were talking Exorcist before.
Yes.
Just because they're both based on blockbuster novels, big movies in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, one had Ellen Burstyn, though.
Yes, of course. We know how you feel about Ellen Burstyn.
Yep.
You're perennial babe of the,
century, yeah.
Right? And so I do think that this feels stale to me, is a stale IP. And I sort of push back on you when you put The Omen in the same class as Exorcist, but I almost am agreeing with you now that this feels passé compared to something like Late Night with the Devil and Immaculate. Mm-hmm. It's a new generation of horror, and this feels pretty stale to me. Although I will say, great first trailer.
Yeah, that's the thing, is it had a really good trailer. I remember seeing the trailer a few months ago and not exactly know. I didn't know it was an Omen movie until towards the end. I was like, oh, this looks pretty good.
Yeah.
So I wonder, you mentioned The Exorcist. Exorcist believer, does that somehow hurt The Omen? Do young people start to lump all of that together as just old horror shit that they're tired of? Or do people not make that mental connection and they didn't like Exorcist Believer, but they're not going to taint The Omen?
Yeah, it's hard because we barely, I mean, neither of us were alive in 76.
We were not. No. Yeah.
I mean, I'm Gen X, but I was
Gen
not,
X, but
I was not alive in 76 and neither were you. So we can agree on that.
We could agree,
we can't
on,
agree
that,
on the generation.
Yeah. And we both graduated college the same year.
Yeah. So that, I don't, that doesn't really mean anything to
different
anyone.
Different ages, but same college.
Yeah. But that doesn't really mean anything to anyone. So, you look up the laws in Pennsylvania, but what I'm saying about that is we know our history.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if the youngins know their history. We don't know if they know that Exorcist and Omen are equivocated, mm-hmm, because of the reasons we mentioned. It might just be an innate sense that young people have of something being stale.
Right.
Like, we always say this about kids. Kids are generally stupid.
Okay.
And they really just are rats that need cheese. But there's an instinct that goes along with that. Mm-hmm. They know brie and they know stale cheese.
Right.
They just know. It's not cerebral at all. It's sort of an instinct. And I think that's the same way that some people are with movies. Teens, they'll know when something is lame and stale. And
right.
I do think The Omen just is lame and stale.
Yeah. I mean, I think the IP is probably a push. And, well, the thing is, like, look at something like Exorcist Believer, a movie that no one liked and didn't have big stars. And it didn't do well compared to how much it cost them to buy the IP.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a movie that, if it were not Exorcist IP, would have done so much worse than it did. Like, the title did mean something. That movie opened to 20-something million, right? I feel like that movie opened to a number that was low when we were comparing it to the
like
David Porter Green Halloween movies. But the IP is better than nothing. I think, like, even look at Late Night with the Devil. That is doing well for the size of that movie, doing well as, like, the biggest IFC Films release ever. But if that same movie were The Omen, but it was set in a Joe Franklin show type 70s talk show, it does better opening numbers than it does being called Late Night with the Devil. Right? Omen presents Late Night with the Devil.
Yeah, but that's...
And it's like Damien is a host of a local New York City, you
but
know,
then
public
it's not an IFC
show.
Movie. That's the thing. Then if it is an Omen movie,
true,
then it's
true.
Not an IFC movie. So you're playing with a different
set
of cards.
Promotion.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, open at 26.4, which
right.
was, and also
a lot of promotion. I mean, that's a movie that's got way more promotion than this Omen movie is doing. I wonder though if with The Omen, you know, it's a devil movie. It's and this is a prequel to the first one. So we're not going to get Damien as the baby. We're not going to get baby Damien. Isn't that the whole hook, is that you get to see baby Damien crawling around?
That's a great question. I don't know what this is about. Maybe it's about the birth mother of Damien, but that I think is also a problem where it's like, just give us Damien.
Yes, we want, if anything, give us Damien older. That's why I said Late Night with the Devil with Damien as the host. We want to see Damien later in life, not pre-life.
Well, they've already done that with the sequels, because I believe Sam Neill played Damien grown up in one of the sequels. Mm-hmm. But at least give us the kid, right? Like, give us Damien as the child, and then if this does well, go back in time or go forward
into
in time.
The womb, yeah. Is this in the womb? Is this a prequel in the womb?
You know, if this was a found footage type movie that was...
Sonograms? Yeah.
Then you have something.
Yes.
That's something unique. Also, the budget would be really low.
Yep. All sonograms.
I mean, you know, I don't know how much it costs to do a sonogram, but multiply that by another few, like an hour and a half, right? Because a sonogram is usually, what, 5 minutes, maybe that, unless there's an issue. And
if you get that covered by your health insurance... Your health insurance covers the entire production of this all sonogram found footage movie.
Yeah, just rent out that sonogram machine or whatever, or make an appointment,
right?
And say, I'm doing this for an hour and a half.
Right. Well,
you know what? Actually,
so real time found footage sonogram, film covered by health insurance.
Because at least
that's a way to do a really budget conscious Omen prequel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is not this.
That is not this. We have seen the trailer. We know for sure this is not found footage sonogram only movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wonder if... I mean, Damien as a horror icon, where do you put Damien?
Not at the table.
Oh, no, he's not sitting there with Freddy, Jason, Chucky in the high chair. Yeah.
I don't think
the clown now gets to come in. They razz him a little bit, but then they kick the seat over and he sits down.
You know, listen, it's locker room talk.
Yeah.
But I think Damien hasn't gotten a invitation to the party since 2007, probably 2006.
Mm.
I'd say 2005. 2005, there's word, there's going to be another Omen movie.
Mm-hmm.
Damien gets an invite. Hey, let's just see how this...
It's been a while.
Let's see what's up. Once that movie comes out and bombs, no invite.
Right.
There's not been an invite for Damien since then. And that is almost 20 years.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if the devil is hot right now on people's minds because of Late Night with the Devil. So that maybe gives this Omen movie a little juice.
Son of the devil.
Yeah, I mean, people had a good time last week with the devil, so are they going to want more devil?
You know what they should do? You know, I always talk about, we talked about rebranding last episode.
Okay.
How to rebrand. I mean, obviously we said Wolverine.
Right.
X-Deadpool. Deadpool X-Wolverine, with either the slashes or just the X.
The X-Men X. Yeah, reclaim X-Men. The X.
Playdate with the devil. That's what you call the Omen, because that is hot now.
Yeah.
Right? And you can put the Omen in there, the first Omen, or it's Playdate with the Devil, the first Omen.
The first Omen. Yeah.
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 Or Nap Time with the Devil, or whatever it ends up being, like, you know, feeding time for Damien, whatever you want to call it.
So you think last minute week of release rebrand?
Why not?
Is Late Night with the Devil that big? It's doing well for an IFC movie. People are liking it, but this is a major studio.
Mm-hmm.
Is this like Sony putting out this Omen movie?
I believe so.
Right? So are they going to change their week of marketing campaign because of Late Night with the Devil? This is 20th Century Studios. So this is a Disney release.
Okay. So here's what you do then. you get the people at the movie theaters. They have access to the posters. The posters are up.
The posters are up, yeah.
The marquee can be changed.
They're behind glass at this point. They've got keys to get those glass doors open.
You take a little bit of red paint, and they write "Play Date with the Devil" on the poster.
Oh, interesting. Okay,
DIY,
so it looks like
street rebrand
graffiti. Yeah,
and that'll be fun because people can take pictures and be like, "This is look how this one was spelled, and look how this one was spelled."
Right, right.
And someone just put a butt with the fart cloud coming out of it.
Right, but that doesn't really capture the sort of 70s aesthetic that people like about Late Night with the Devil. This is more 90s fart street art.
Well, that one, that's somebody who went off the sort of, they
rails.
They did not go along with the assignment. And I think as long as the poster's in the tweet, it still is promotion.
Yeah.
So okay. As long as most of the posters are rebranded correctly, I think it'll work.
Bill Nighy is in this movie. Does Bill Nighy mean anything to this opening week?
Bill Nighy
means
absolute Jack S.
Wow.
Jack okay. S. You know, the fact that you said Bill Nighy is in this makes me not want to go.
Really? He's a negative to you? I mean, I feel like he just makes me think, is this a Richard Curtis, you know, romantic dramedy?
Yeah. Well, you know, this might be because you always say that I have personal opinions about things that only I hold.
Yeah.
And this may be one of those because the great Nick Turner, who has been on this show before.
He has been on the show. I mean, remember in summer of 2020, he was the number one box office comedy star in America.
Yeah.
Thanks to I can't believe I'm forgetting Travis Irvine's great They Come at Christmas, and we're blanket on the title of this hit movie from 2020.
Why don't you look that up while I talk about this? So
yeah, you vamp.
Well, it's not vamping. I'm making a point. I'm continuing my story when you interrupted me. So you can continue doing what you're doing.
I just consider you making a point also to be vamping.
That's great that everybody knows that now. So that's good. As if people couldn't tell. He had a real...
Killer Raccoons 2, Dark Christmas in the Dark, starring Nick Turner.
Great interruption. Perfect timing.
Yeah.
So Nick Turner, previous biggest comedy star in the world and future...
He'll be there again, of course.
He'll be there again when the third one comes out, which we will be in.
100%.
We were promised.
Yes, we've been promised to be killed in the third Killer Raccoons movie.
Yes. He had a real hard-on, I'll say.
Okay.
For Bill Nighy getting an Oscar, remember? A couple years ago. And I love Nick. Great guy. I got so sick of hearing about this Bill Nighy and this Bill Nighy winning an Oscar that now... I got a little bit of an aversion to Bill Nighy.
Wow.
So that is completely personal. So that will not affect the box office. I don't think anybody else feels that way.
Right.
Except for me.
Right. No, I don't think that Nick Turner gambling on Bill Nighy winning an Oscar a few years ago has turned anyone off to him as an actor or an attraction to go see or not go see a movie. I think that's just you.
But with saying that, not a butts in the seats guy.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. Yeah, you know, with this movie, it really comes down to horror. There is a floor for horror in terms of if you promote a horror movie, it's going to do some amount of business. I think there's goodwill. I mean, there's always goodwill towards horror, but I think there's a little bit more goodwill towards horror at the moment because of Immaculate and Late Night with the Devil. So you could either look at those movies as competition for these eyeballs this weekend for First Omen, or you could look at those movies as re-jazzing people up to want to go see horror in the theater. And I tend to think the latter. I think I'm higher on this First Omen. Well, definitely than you are because you think it's going to be a disappointment.
Yeah, I think, they're saying teens, low teens. I'm saying single digits. I'm not saying that this is going to be 7 million, you know,
yeah.
6 million. I think it's probably going to be 9.
Okay.
But I think here's the big thing with this, too, is that young women usually go to horror. That's a big draw for young women. Obviously, young men too. But right. when you're talking about the two new releases, so that one and Monkey Man.
Mm-hmm.
Monkey Man is skewing male.
Mm-hmm.
But is Monkey Man going to be a sneaky date movie? That's the question. Is there a interest in this movie as the date movie as opposed to The Omen?
Right.
Because think about this. You took your lady to see Immaculate. You did. Your
I
wife.
Did. I took my wife, yes.
Right. And so say you did that, and then also the weekend before, you didn't do this, but someone has done this, taken the little lady, or the little lady took them, or the person took the other person.
Person took person.
To see Late Night with the Devil.
Mm.
Is that 3 weekends in a row you're going horror? If you're not a gorehound, if right. you're not a horror head.
Right, right. Because listeners to The New Flesh, horror every weekend is a date.
Yeah.
You know, they're getting married in like haunted houses, and then they're going to see a horror movie later that night.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Which is great for them, and it's great for Brett, it's great for his wallet.
They're getting married in Salem.
Yep.
Hashtag horror lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I do think there's a level of, you know, let's switch it up. Maybe we go see Monkey Man.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that, though. I mean, let's get into Monkey Man. Monkey Man, it's not horror, obviously, but it's action. It's violence. I don't know if that's the movie that if you've seen Late Night with the Devil and Immaculate as your date movies 2 weekends in a row, and then the other person is like, I need something totally different. I don't know if Monkey Man is that big shift away from what you're already been getting from these horror movies.
Well, so it's action. It's punch 'em up. It's a punch 'em up movie.
Yeah. So okay. So. This is a movie that Dev Patel directed, and he's someone who has just been in the culture for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen him grow up before our eyes, and we've seen him now turn into a man.
Mm-hmm.
And he did The Green Knight, and people are starting to feel like, okay, he's no longer a boy. This is a man. Goodwill for the trailer. So there's a lot of online buzz. Is that going to translate into the real world this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, tweets aren't ticks, we always say. But in some instances, there's people who are very excited online and they actually go. I mean, you saw it at a larger scale, obviously, with the Barbenheimer thing.
Right.
Where everybody was posting about that online and they actually went. Is that the case here? I feel like it is, in a way. Because obviously it's not going to be as big as those two movies at all. But this feels like a movie where the people who are talking about it are actually super psyched for it.
Okay.
And I also think when you look at the success of movies that have crossed over, like RRR, this is sort of, can America do what they're doing? Now, the question here is, I mean, you saw RRR, right?
Oh, on Netflix.
Yeah. Yes.
I didn't see it in the theater.
Unfortunately, but that movie is awesome, but it is its own thing.
Yes.
And there's so much crazy action in there that this doesn't look like it's going to replicate. This looks more like along the lines of the John Wick, which is everybody saying this is like John Wick 1.
Yeah.
And then
the Raid movies.
Yeah. Which are awesome, but they're not so unorthodox and they're not super Bollywood.
Right, right.
So the question is, is this hiding some of that?
Mm-hmm.
Or is this more of just a straight ahead action movie that has a few of those elements?
Right.
Which would be interesting. And we don't know yet. But I do think there's a lot of engagement. And I think the opening weekend isn't as important with this movie as the legs.
Okay.
And the word of mouth.
Okay.
Which sounds like sort of a cop out, because if this does open in the low teens, I don't think it's a failure. It depends on, what's the cinema score? What are the exits saying? What is the talk after it? Because this is something that I think people are going to have to discover. The people that aren't terminally online, the people that are your general moviegoers who did all the walk-up business to the collab last weekend.
Right.
And who only see a movie every couple of months, are they going to be like, Monkey Man, this looks cool.
Right. I mean, you figure last weekend, a lot of people were going to the theaters to see the collab, and they saw the Monkey Man trailer. They saw the Monkey Man posters in the lobby. So last weekend definitely helped raise awareness at the perfect time for Monkey Man. This weekend's going to have to be the young people and the online people fueling it, because I don't think this has reached the dads yet. I don't think this has reached even the young dads. I think this is a movie that is, no matter what it brings in, we're going to see in the exits that this is very young skewing.
Now, do you think Jordan Peele being named in this?
Right.
Is he at the point where he, obviously he's not a Nolan. He's not at that level yet.
He hasn't made as many movies as Nolan.
But he is a marquee director name. But is it enough that he's a producer on this to get people who normally wouldn't see a movie like this? I think there is an amount. There's definitely an amount. But is it a large amount? Or are we talking there's 3 million worth of people that are going to see this because Jordan Peele's name is on it?
I mean, I think if there's $3 million worth of people who Jordan Peele brings in, that's a huge number for this movie. It's tough with a director being able to draw people by being an executive producer of a movie. That's rarefied air. That's Spielberg in the 80s.
Yeah.
Entertainment situation where Spielberg presents Gremlins, and then Gremlins is a hit. And I can't think of many directors who have gotten to present as an executive producer, and that means something at the box office.
Even Tarantino in his heyday, when he was bringing over bringing over movies from other countries,
right?
And
like
doing
Man in the Iron Fist or that kind of thing.
Yeah. His name was on other movies. Even those, I don't think, did Buffa Bobo.
Right.
Just with his name. Now, more people then would have seen it. And the fact that it's here and being released in America was something.
Right, right.
But I don't think it's necessarily going to be, you know, $5-6 million more.
Right, right. Yeah, I think with this movie, it's about setting expectations correctly, especially for the opening weekend, because this was a movie that was going to be on Netflix. It would do $0, be relevant for a day and a half. And instead, now we're debating, is this movie going to make $15 million? You know, there's people out there who think this could do high teens or 20. And so I think we can't have the expectations be so high that if this movie opens to $9 million, that we're freaking out.
Yeah, if the first Omen beats it,
right?
I still don't think that's it for this. Because when you look at, okay, I'm going to use John Wick because John Wick is sort of what people are talking about just in the feel of this movie.
Right.
Now, again,
action, punch him up.
Keanu Reeves, big star, bigger name than Dev Patel. But at the time, in 2014, on a swoon. Now we know that he has his swoons and he comes back.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody has had more swoons and come back than Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
Truly. This opened to 14, legged out to 43, and now it's a blockbuster franchise.
Right.
And that's the thing, is this thing should be looked at in that level. Is, can this get to 40?
Right.
If this gets to 40, then you get a sequel.
Right.
And who knows where that goes.
Right, right.
I think that's what you look at with this. If this thing gets to $40 million, people should be celebrating it.
Yes. And this movie I'm about to say was released way too early in the comeback from COVID period to have been a bigger hit. But you know what I'm going to say.
Nobody.
Yeah. Bob Odenkirk's Nobody. Came out in spring 2021. I think that came out before Godzilla versus Kong, which was the next huge step up to opening the box office. And that movie, I think we were thinking, man, could this do $40 million, $50 million? And I'm pretty sure off the top of my head, did it do like 28 million domestic total?
So close, 27.
27, yeah. It opened at like 8 or 9, and it got... So that's a box office run that if Monkey Man, I think before the trailer came out, if you told the executives this movie's going to leg out and do $28 million total, they would have lost their minds. They would have loved it. And so now we're looking at a movie thinking, man, could it do $20 million the first weekend? So I think those become expectations that are too lofty. I don't think this movie has gotten awareness yet past online people, young people, you know, and I think to hit those Godzilla, X-Kong collab type numbers, which is never going to hit, but like to be a big mainstream movie, you got to get younger people as in kids, which this doesn't have, and you got to just get the Earth Dogs, the Plain Billies, and I think those could come, but they won't be there on weekend one.
Absolutely not. Yeah, because we know the oldsters wait.
Yeah, the oldsters wait. I mean, here's a comp I'll throw out at you because, you know, looking at the plot of Monkey Man, it makes me think of a movie that we just saw a few months ago. So the plot of Monkey Man is that Dev Patel's character's mom gets killed. He's looking for revenge. And in looking for revenge, he ends up becoming a champion of the poor and downtrodden, fighting against those keeping them down. That's the beekeeper. I mean, let's just say it. That's the beekeeper. You know, Jason Statham gaining revenge for a mother figure in his life. And then once he saw what happened, he becomes the savior of the poor, the downtrodden, fighting the man, all that. So, I mean, this is the beekeeper. Do we think Monkey Man has any shot of opening to beekeeper numbers?
Man, Statham.
Well, that's the thing. It's Statham. Statham is, at least in this genre, a bigger star than Dev Patel is.
That's the thing, is that,
you know,
I
Dev Patel's been in a Best Picture winner, and he's been famous for a long time, but he's not a butts in the seat star, I don't think.
Yeah.
At least in action. And so Beekeeper opens a $16.5 million in January.
You know what? With that, but the Beekeeper opened up against something pretty big, right?
It opened against Mean Girls. It was
okay, so something not that.
It was B-Girl Weekend, of course.
Yeah, yeah. That was huge. Those memes were huge.
Yeah.
I think that, could we get the B-Girl, and I'm Gen X, so I'm going to explain this to you. There was a girl in a video for a song called No Rain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Are you familiar with that song?
Yeah. You know what I like to eat in the summer? Some blind melon.
Blind melon. There we go. Yeah. Okay. So do you think we could get B-Girl?
Could we get her? I think now, hey guys.
In the studio. Hey guys.
Hey guys, I'm talking to the YouTube audience now that they see this beautiful studio, which is, you know, it's going to get more beautiful. We're going to get 3 cameras in here. We're going to, you know, get the picture of Scott Mendelson, Jeff.
We're going to have 300 books.
The A spread. We're going to have 300 books in here. So this studio, when it gets up to that level, then I think we go out to B-Girl. And we have her in here for a special episode where we talk about B-Girl Weekend, the famous weekend where Mean Girls, the musical, and The Beekeeper opened the same weekend.
And she was all over all those memes. So here's the thing.
Yeah.
When you say that opened to 16, that really does make me think that the expectations for this are really high.
Yes.
Because Statham, plus the fact that that was a name director, now Dev Patel is directing, and there is an interest there in the sense of, oh, it's interesting when an actor directs. But Ayers, I'm sorry, what's his first
David
name?
Ayers.
David Ayers.
Yeah.
He is actually a name that people recognize, and we were excited that he was doing this sort of movie and not doing a superhero movie.
Yes, yes.
And so that was also, I think, an added bonus, and that was something that maybe put a few million dollars on that, because if it was a Statham movie directed by a journeyman,
right,
you're still going to get the Statham people, but you're not going to get the other people who are like, oh, this is like a legit director doing one of these sorts of movies. So 16 for that makes me think this thing is going to do like 12.
Yeah.
Or 13.
Yeah. I mean, we'll get into our top fives in a minute because I'm feeling we're going to have an opposite tact here after this conversation. I'm feeling we're going to have some differences in our top five. So before we get into that, Clayton, can I read you an email that we got?
Is it fresh?
Fresh off the presses, hot off the presses, fresh in my inbox. So we got an email from wannabe O person, Alex.
Okay.
And the subject is Rocka Rocka New Project Insight. So the email states, hi, Pat and Clayton. Hey, guys. That's from us, the hey, guys. So hi, Pat and Clayton. Wanted to provide some field correspondence regarding an upcoming Rocka Rocka project. Now, of course, Rocka Rocka directed Talk to Me, YouTube stars who now have become star directors. So good
sort
for
of our
Rocka.
Future trajectory.
Yep. So wanted to provide some field correspondence regarding an upcoming Rocka Rocka project. Was at a GCW wrestling show in Detroit 2 weeks ago, and Michael Filippo of Rocka Rocka Talk to Me fame participated in an insane death match that occurred off air and was only for live audience. They said it was being filmed for a movie that will be going to theaters eventually. I'm assuming some sort of hardcore wrestling documentary, but details were limited. Some of the spots they did were absolutely wild, including Michael going through a flaming pane of glass. They share a clip online, so it's definitely not anything too top secret, but looking to earn my wanna BO stripes. And they put the link to the clip in there, which we'll put in the show notes. So
great insider info. Thank you.
Amazing. So thank you, wanna BO person, Alex. GCW, that is the most violent. They hit each other with light tubes. I think that is where a couple of years ago David Arquette almost got his throat cut.
By a fluorescent bulb.
Yes. Yes.
Saved by.
Who saved him? Courtney Cox?
No, Luke Perry, RIP.
Oh, wait, Luke Perry
Luke
before
Perry
he died?
Luke Perry was there and he helped him stop the bleeding.
Wow.
Great man.
Wow.
And he did it in 8 seconds.
Wow. I'm looking at one of the stunts now, and it looks like the director of Rocka Rocka is thrown off a scaffolding through a pane of glass on a table, and the table is on fire.
Now, this
let me
tell you why.
Hey, guys, I'm just watching the clip.
Hey, guys.
On my phone. Hey, guys.
Let me tell you why this excites me and or worries me.
Okay.
Excites me because, obviously, this is a cool idea for a movie, whatever it's going to be.
Right.
Extreme wrestling, great idea for a movie. But I know they used to, you know, they acted in their shorts and their YouTube stuff.
Right. They were like stunts on YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah. My fear here is that we're going to get another Safdie situation where one of them is going to get too into the acting.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to do the collabs anymore.
Right.
Split up. And then one of them's by themselves doing something. The other one's acting. The other one's playing a parent in a Judy Blume movie.
Yeah.
I don't want to see.
And wasting Emma Stone's time on a TV
channel. On a TV show. Yeah. I don't want to see one of the Rocka Rocka guys being the dad in Super Fudge.
Okay.
I want them to make cool movies.
Mm-hmm.
So now if they're, you know, if it's like, I act in our movies, that's great, but don't split up yet.
Please, Rocka Rocka, don't split up.
Don't split up. You're just starting out.
Yeah.
Acting is not as fun as you think it is.
Right, right. Well, I feel that maybe, you know, anything could happen, but looking again at this clip of one of the Rocka Rocka guys being thrown off a scaffolding through a flaming pane of glass.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me feel like that Rocka Rocka person is not really invested in the craft of acting. Like I don't think that Rocka Rocka person is is in the same boat as the Safdie brother who wants to act opposite Emma Stone. I think maybe he just wanted to get thrown off a scaffold through a plate of flaming glass, film it.
That's how it starts.
That is how it starts. Yeah. I mean, they told the crowd, according to our wannabe-o person, that they're filming this to be in a movie, released in movie theaters, which that's great. I mean, I love that they said that up front, got the crowd on their side. Because if you interrupt a wrestling show to say we're filming a scene for something that's going to be on a streaming network, you're in danger of losing that crowd.
Hey, guys, we're going to be shooting this for freebie.
Yeah. No. Yeah, that wrestling crowd's going to revolt.
Yeah.
And so I am excited. At least they're working on something for theaters because Talk to Me was a hit. I would think they're going to be getting to Talk to Me too soon.
They got to.
Right? You've got to continue the horror franchise. But I'm just glad to see they're working on something. Hopefully, he just wants to be thrown through some flaming glass and doesn't want to become an actor and keep Rock Rocket together.
Yeah, fingers crossed. But hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
If you have any sort of information like this, you're somewhere where they're shooting a movie,
mm-hmm.
and you get to talk to somebody, or you get, you know, some pictures of, I don't know, stars being stars or on set or something like that, let us know. We'll talk about it. We'll break the news. You don't have to send it to TMZ.
No, send it here.
Send it here.
I mean, that Harvey guy at TMZ has got to be so old at this point.
I don't even know if he's still going, that guy?
Yeah, I think he's still going, but I think if you send your emails to him, there's a good chance that he's going to lose them before he reads it on the show.
Yeah.
So let's get to our top fives.
Yeah.
Let's get to these predictions.
Pat, I'm so excited. You're saying that we're going to diverge so greatly that I feel like I need to hear your take immediately.
Okay. So here then is my take. I mean, I think we're going to be alike on number one, which is going to be the collab weekend two. I think it made $80 million last weekend. It'll do a bigger than 50% drop because it's such a big movie.
Yeah, that'll be so big.
I think it'll drop an 80 last weekend. I think it does like 35 or 36 million this weekend.
Okay. So mid-50s.
Yeah, mid-50s. Number two, hashtag horror lifestyle. I think The Omen.
Okay.
The first Omen is going to be bigger than Monkey Man. And I think the first Omen does like 17 million. I think the devil is hot and you got to ride with the devil this weekend. And I'm going first Omen number two, 17 million.
Wow. Ride with the Devil. One of Jules' only acting parts.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
I'll go then Monkey Man number three.
What's your Monkey Man number?
11 million.
Okay.
I'm low on the Monkey Man. I think it will have legs, but I think the awareness for opening weekend is a little overblown.
Mm-hmm.
So it might even do like 10. I don't know. I mean, I'd love to see this just go bananas and does 20 million. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I think the awareness is like 10 or 11 million this weekend. Number four, I think Dune Part Two is going to hop over Ghostbusters, and then number five is going to be Ghostbusters.
All right. I mean, Godzilla.
Yeah.
X-Kong, the collab, which, again, we talk about rebrand, just rebranded that. The new Empire? Just call it the collab. And I know it'd be Godzilla, collab, Kong, the collab, but still, that's...
People love this collab.
People love the collab. I mean, they loved our collab with the Ace last episode.
Great collab.
Yeah. Second greatest collab of this month, probably, behind those two. Number one, yeah, I think this is mid-50s drop. It's going to be probably around 30.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Number two, this is interesting because, you know, the Statham, the Beekeeper really swayed me.
Mm-hmm.
That 16 million really swayed me. So I'm going to go with, number two is going to be The Omen.
Oh, wow.
And I thought
we would diverge there.
I think it makes 13, lucky number 13.
Oh, so you're just low on everything then.
And then Monkey Man, I do think is going to make like 11. So it's going to be close. But I think The Omen is going to squeak past it. Then I think, yeah, F Ghostbusters. Nobody likes this effing movie.
No one likes this movie.
Dune Part 2, and then Ghostbusters, mm-hmm. Frozen Kingdom. I mean, okay, how low could Ghostbusters go? I mean, do we see any way Immaculate? There's no way Immaculate beats, because then it would be like, it would have to
increase.
It would have to increase, so there's no way. Ghostbusters definitely 5.
Yeah, because Ghostbusters made what, like 19 million or so last weekend? So,
yeah, because it was down 65.
Or maybe, no, it made less. It made like 15 or 16. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's, I just don't think the math could ever
work
out.
Math doesn't work with Immaculate, but I mean, it could definitely go lower than 5th.
Yeah, it could.
Yeah.
It could. All right, so those are our predictions. So, hey guys.
Hey guys.
Email us, theboboyspodcast@gmail.com. I'm doing this direct into camera for the YouTube audience out there. We want to get your boots on the ground reporting, your predictions, what you've seen, what you want to see, trailer talk. We love trailer talk. Of course, I talked about the Bad Boys, Live Free or Ride Die. What is part 4 called?
Live Free or Ride Die, absolutely.
Live
correct.
Free or Ride Die. Finally, yeah. Saw that trailer. We talked about that. What trailers do you want to talk about? Email us, theboboyspodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on social media at @theboboyspod. Wannabe O senior intern Christopher is killing it with the vertical clips. And we are going to have Wannabe O senior intern Christopher on very soon. It's been a while. I think we got to have maybe an all hands on deck situation soon.
I'll have to see Jack for the first time since we interviewed him.
I think we are going to have Jack on too, because Jack's been doing a great job with the Substack. Wannabe O junior intern Jack, killing with the Substack. And honestly, I think I want to have him on here, talk about what he's been writing, what he's got in the, you know, in the hopper for the rest of the spring and the summer. So I think family reunion coming up on a episode of the BO Boys soon.
Love
so
it.
Wannabe O senior intern, Wannabe O junior intern, Christopher, Jack, you guys have been killing it. Follow us on social media, the clips, all that stuff. 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, the YouTube channel. So, hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
So, if you're watching this right now, you could attest the BO Boys YouTube channel is just fantastic, and it's getting bigger every day. Production value is going sky high. So, watch us on YouTube. Watch our special spinoff series, the BO Boys Kirkclusive. That's on the Kirk Minahan Show YouTube channel. So, that's where you got to go to see the BO Boys Kirk exclusive spinoff show. I said 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. And the live shows. I mean, you know, listen, we'll be plugging these for the next 5 months, but in LA on Tuesday, October 8th, talking Joker 2. In New York City at the Parkside Lounge on Tuesday, October 22nd. The links for both of those shows to buy tickets be going up very soon, but those are going to be huge. So start making your travel plans. L.A. on the 8th of October, New York on the 22nd of October, Boston probably in November. So start making your fall travel plans to see the BO Boys live on tour. And that's all I got, Clayton.
It's so much.
Yeah,
there's
so much.
There's no nothing else that could possibly be said.
No, nothing.
Except for,
until next time, we'll smell you at the box office. Nailed it.